Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I think it's very, you know, things are processing here, and you know, I'm just talking openly about it. But remember the Boston Tea Party?
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Tea Party, there's a place where people put their foot down in Boston and made a statement to Great Britain about what was going on. And then you think about somebody is trying to make a statement. But then I find out that somebody mails reportedly by CNN, Fox News, that a senator from Mississippi receives an envelope with, is it called, not, it's called, it's not resin, it's
ricin, I think.
Ricin, which I, yeah. You know, what does that really mean?
It's supposed to be worse than anthrax.
Yeah, that's wow. And it's like a Republican senator receives that, and so you're thinking, you know, and the things, if you go back and go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, tell everybody to make that bigger, make the torch bigger, like it's something that they can see when they get, instead of being small on the side, they really see the torch. You got to go to the torch and read the prophetic or listen to the prophetic words, because, you know, this thing that keeps pushing and pushing in America, it's going to morph at some point if we don't humble ourselves. And the people that are playing around with it, kind of having fun with it, because you're living in the blessing, so you can act a fool when you're in the blessing. But all of a sudden, when you're not in daddy's house anymore or mama's house and you're not getting a check from whoever and you got to go out and make it happen, you don't have time to do that kind of stuff. You have to grow up and put away childish things and just begin.
Mm-hmm.
And begin life. And God's shown us that this thing's going to morph. If we don't humble ourselves, this is going to morph. And but understand that simultaneously there's hope. There's hope because God, and what we want to share with you is God's news behind the news. You're seeing all that. And don't be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Just turn to God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, deal with a sin you haven't been dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's somebody listening right here today that you've been holding unforgiveness towards somebody. And the unforgiveness is holding you in sickness. And if you'll let them go, that sickness will have to let you go.
Right.
So I just declare that over you right now. And I just say in Jesus' name, let it go and be healed in Jesus' name. That in the context of that is there's hope because God, first of all, God is God. God's holding everything together. And people say, well, you know, if God did that, he would be a mean God or something of that nature. And you have to understand, if he wanted to destroy us, he could destroy us. He could just stop giving us air. So it's obviously not about that. It's discipline. Mm-hmm. It's hardship. It's us going through difficult times. So we'll just humble ourselves, you know, deal with our sin, go to the cross, acknowledge his awesomeness and his goodness, that he's the one that's been providing for us and keeping us and blessing us and giving us the very air that we breathe. He chose the very same address that we would live in, the very time and season we would live, for one specific reason. No, America, not so you can have a whole bunch of stuff and things and all your money and, you know, 80% of the storage buildings in the world and so much stuff. It was so to see if you would seek him, though he's not far from you. Reach out and touch him, though he's not far from you. It's all about that. Think about it. When it's all over, and listen, if what's about to happen is going to happen based on what God has shown us in dreams and visions, that there's going to be a massive loss of life in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The shifting taking place. And when America gets a cold, you know, when America sneezes, a lot of third world nations get a cold because a lot of the purchasing and things that take place and jobs and food and all that kind of stuff comes out of America and goes to these different areas. And it's like the whole world will just suddenly, you know, be in a tough situation. You just need to really
be aware of the times.
Yeah,
stay humble, stay alert, you know, stay abiding.
Just get rid of the arrogance. You know, people predicting tomorrow, it's just the arrogance instead of just saying, I'll go 2 inches and I'll stop, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just humbling ourselves, right?
Yeah.
All right.
And know this, that who's going to tell them? Who will I send? Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them that I love them, that I have a plan for their life? Who's going to tell them that they have sinned and that they've fallen short, but I'll forgive them if they'll turn back to me.
Hmm. Yeah.
Who's going to tell them that there's going to be a financial collapse and all the paper money is going to go and digital economy will come out and you will actually be controlled like the people who control the data today? Think about it. It's data money. Right. I mean, what does that really mean? You know, the data coin, the Bitcoin, all the different stuff that we talked about. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's going to tell them that you're in captivity? You know, you can be in religious captivity. You can be in religious captivity and that you need to be free from that to be able to follow God, that you answer alone before God, all by yourself. No witnesses, no suspects. Who's going to tell you that God's going to hold you accountable for your sin? That's why we go to Jesus. That's why why it's good news. We go to him and say, I've sinned. I've fallen short. Right. God, forgive me. Nobody can point any fingers at anybody. All we can do is point you to the cross and say, listen, that's the hope. And even if loss of life was to happen, I mean, think about it. If we were standing on the sidewalks of the Boston Marathon and that was our last moment, and that was your last moment, because they didn't know. They didn't know.
They didn't know.
Who would have ever known in such a beautiful day and such a great event and so much family fun that that would be the moment they would be standing before the throne of God? Who would have known that? And right now, I'm telling you, you don't know tomorrow. Mm. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know the next moment. You know, I was riding down the road in my truck, and I'm about to take a turn, and all of a sudden, I get T-boned in the side of my truck. Just suddenly, bam, you know? And, but that could have been it. You know, that was, a year ago or so? And, but it was just instant. It's just instant. I think about David Wilkerson when he's riding down in the highways in Houston. I mean, that's where he literally got hit so hard that I believe his spirit came out, his body went straight to heaven.
Wow.
But that was his last moment, which is God's, I'm telling you, God had mercy on him, took him on home, because he told for years, you know, and people didn't even pay attention and made fun of him that this was going to be happening. And here it is. It's happening and it's going to happen. Mm. And so if what we're sharing with you today puts fear in you, I pray it's the fear of God.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I want you to make it. God wants you to make it. You just don't know tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's been real easy to this point. It's been easy because we're in a blessed land. But God is about to move his hand. If we don't, what you're going to hear in a moment is a word from a prophetic word that lines up with the words even we're hearing and the dreams and the visions that we're hearing from Rick Joyner about if America doesn't turn, then it will burn.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you, as you're hearing this word, I want to encourage you that he's just warning. It's like, it's sort of like a parent going, and it is a father, saying, oh, I really love you so much. I sure don't want to have to do this. Mm. I sure don't want to have to allow this difficulty to come upon you. I sure don't want to withdraw my blessing from you. You have to understand a father's love because, you know, the longer you're a father, you understand those things, you know, more and more and more. Somebody says, well, why do you actually, and it's like, because you love them. You know, you just love them and you want it to work out and you got all these different things. And we being evil know how to get good gifts. Imagine God's heart. And he's not wanting the hardships to come. But listen, just like you're about to hear, as Rick Joyner is saying, and John's going to be reading, is that the church is not listening. They're having carnivals. They're having carnivals and preaching the gospel of grace. Why fire is at the door. Why destruction's at the door. Why our very neighbors are getting blown up on a simple day at the marathon. John, talk to us.
Wow, this is a prophetic word that just came from Rick Joyner, and they puts out these prophetic bulletins, and the word, the title of this prophetic word is called Ineptocracy. Ineptocracy.
Okay.
I guess it's the combination of two words, inept and ocracy, and this is what Rick Joyner says. We think in words. For this reason, words have been the most powerful social force on earth, changing nations, forming cultures, and dismantling them. Dictionaries help to establish a definition of words, and a friend sent me this one that had recently been added to one of America's foremost word authorities.
Say that word again.
Ineptocracy.
Okay, ineptocracy. Okay.
Inept and ocracy.
Which ocracy would be government, and inept is inability.
inability. Correct. Okay. But this is how that word is defined: a system of government where the least capable to lead are elected by the least capable of producing. And where
give us a pause to think. Make the statement again. In other words, you have the least likely to lead elected by the least likely
capable of producing.
Capable of producing. It's like, that's a bad combination.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's like the blind leading the blind, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's being said prophetically is our government, our choices that we've elected as government is just in the baddest condition as we are.
Yeah.
And neither one of us can help each other if you're not with God. Okay.
Definition continues and it says, and where the members of society least likely to sustain themselves or succeed are rewarded with goods and services paid for by the confiscated wealth of a diminishing number of producers.
Oh my goodness. So there's actually more people pulling from the source than people that are providing for the source.
Exactly. In fact, this is what he says.
What?
Could what has been happening in America been said any better? As one popular social comedian recently observed, we now have more people riding on the wagon than we have pulling the wagon.
Oh my, that's exactly it. Is that hilarious?
Wow. Isn't that it?
You got a million people on the wagon and one guy out front going, I'm drawing. I can only make so much money. I can't. How do I do this?
Yeah.
That is so true. That's America. Okay.
It's America.
You're listening to a prophetic word fresh from the prophetic journal of Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. And John is reading that word as we speak.
He says, very true. And each day, many more are getting in the wagon than are helping to pull it. It is a tribute to those who are still pulling that our economy is moving at all. But at this trend, if this trend continues, there is a point at which there will not be enough to keep the wagon moving. We are already at the place where any little hill or obstacle can stop it.
Okay, hold on a minute. This is what God's speaking to my spirit. I mean, he just stopped me dead in my tracks. And he says, it's so fragile right now. It is so fragile right now that you're like walking on eggs at any moment. I mean, like you and I, John, we were talking yesterday is that... You know, imagine a plank. A plank is what you had to walk a plank. You know, the pirate would make you walk the plank and you'd go off into the end. And imagine the plank is mercy. And you're blindfolded. Mm-hmm. And you've been walking and walking and walking, but you know that plank is going to end at some point. You're like, is my next step going to be off of mercy?
Wow.
Isn't that a good way to describe what we're feeling in our spirit?
It's a great way. It's a great analogy. Any moment.
Yeah. And this is true, though, is like, but this has so far been like a real long plank. It's kind of odd that it's even this long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're already like, this is way past, the plank should have been over by now.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Isn't that right? And you feel that way?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we're just, everything's converging at one point, and it's like, at any moment, we're living on borrowed mercy. I mean, how much mercy?
He's so good.
It reminds me of Genesis, where God says, God's spirit will not always contend with man.
Right.
It's an arrogant people that just throws off the mercies of God. We talked about on VFN Radio about appropriating the mercies of God. God gives us mercy, but so that we can respond to that mercy and not ignore that mercy. If you tell a child, listen, your punishment is X, Y, Z for not cleaning your room. If you give your child mercy, you want them to take that mercy and say, okay, Dad, Mom, I'm gonna appropriate this in my life. I'm going to receive this so that I don't get the consequences later. America takes the mercies and just throws it right back at God.
You think about this, and we're going to go to break, and I'm going to come right back and continue this conversation, this prophetic word being shared, fresh word from the prophetic journal of Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, is that the poorest people in America, I'm talking about, find the poorest, where are they? They're richer than 80% of the world's population. We rephrase that. Look at the least blessed in America.
That's right.
And they're more blessed by God than 80% of the world. You don't think we're going to have some, you know, much is given, much is expected responsibilities here? We have 80% of the storage buildings in the world in America, which means we've been blessed with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we got it coming out our nose like quail out of Egypt. We are talking about a prophetic word that comes out of the prophetic journals fresh from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, which, by the way, since day one, that our spirits have just been in harmony with what God's saying. So we're hearing in harmony.
Yeah.
And what you want to hear, if you're the only one hearing what you're hearing, you need to be concerned because you're not the only one. But if you hear those who are here from God, you're hearing the same thing, then you can kind of, you know, keeps you from going too far to the left or too far to the right. But listen, real is real.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we're picking up here, John, with the...
the prophetic word. And in fact, many things that have been shared in this word, you have heard us actually share here on VFN Radio. So it's just amazing how God is speaking. Like Greg is saying, we're picking up here on this prophetic word from Rick Joyner, and he starts saying, in my last bulletin, I raised the question about if democracy in America had failed. It has. It did not have to, and it may yet be recovered, but at this time it is broken, and our federal government is bankrupt by any viable standard. One would think everyone would be declaring this, telling the emperor the very obvious fact that he doesn't have any clothes on, but there is an amazing veil of delusion covering him up. I mean, we have seen this delusion where we're $16 trillion in debt and growing every single day. You keep spending and spending and spending where there is no money, and no one is sounding an alarm. Very few words, very few people are saying, we got to stop this. This is lunacy. Meanwhile, you're seeing good being called evil and evil being called good.
Yes. And those who stand for righteousness or stand for what God would say, they're called the problem.
Yeah, they're being persecuted.
Right.
He goes on to say, our government has failed because we did the very things the founding fathers said the republic could not survive doing. They were right. We could limp along for a while, but economic physics confirmed that the party will soon be over. So what do we do? First, we build our lives on the kingdom that can never fail. My goodness, the kingdom of God. We've shared that over and over again where kingdoms come, kingdoms will go, but the kingdom of God will remain forever. Mm-hmm. And he continues to say that we do this by obeying the principles of the coming kingdom. These principles have been well proven every time to work and not fail.
Kingdom of God.
The kingdom
of God.
Correct. So he says, you know,
which we're supposed to seek first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's taught, by the way, just because everybody, you know, remember 81% of the church, according to George Barna, not reading the words. So you need to be able to say kingdom. Are we talking about the
God's
Arab
kingdom.
Emirates kingdom? We're talking about, you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God.
Right.
Okay. That's right.
Which is the king's domain in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Giving him dominion of our life. Kingdom. It's not a place that you go. It's a revelation that you enter into.
Amen. So he talks about these principles and says, what are they and how can we implement them now? He says, these are the most important questions we can be asking at this time. He says, the principles of the kingdom are simple and we will address the important basics of the kingdom in the coming bulletin, but you don't have to wait for that. You have the same source we do, and we can be and should be living in the kingdom right now, the kingdom of God. A kingdom that can never be shaken. And when the whole world falls apart, those who have built their lives on the kingdom will not fall apart, but stand as great lights to the whole world, just as we were promised in such places as Hebrews 12, Daniel 2, and Isaiah 6. And if you've been listening to VFN Radio, you know you have. We've been sharing about the kingdom of God, and that's the only kingdom that's going to make it towards the end. It's the only kingdom. The next part of this prophetic word, Rick begins to share about preparing for collapse.
This is so important because there just comes a point in time when, you know, okay, I've given you, I don't know, I would say since the 1960s to turn back to me.
Yeah.
And there's been wins and opportunities to do that, but you didn't. You didn't fully turn back. You still went away after I rained down manna, after I had the latter rain movement, after I poured out refreshing, after I did all these different things. You still went back to your old ways. I mean, nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's around the 60s. It just began, and it hasn't stopped. The 60s are not our problem. We're just connected. All that's connected.
Yeah.
You know?
So he says, preparing for the collapse, some will interpret what I'm saying that I believe the American Republic is doomed. But that is not the case. Though a collapse of currency and likely our government is becoming inevitable, we could yet turn back before going over the precipice.
Okay, hold on a minute. Now, this is important because what the vision the Lord gave me was, it was just an actual vision. This is a vision. And this is not, I'm not given to a lot of different visions, but I remember the vision. And as a matter of fact, the other day, I was resting, and I had this sudden vision. This is a different one, not the money one. And all of a sudden, this big gunshot, bam! And I was just there, and I'm looking around to see if what was hit. And then I looked around to see if I was hit, coming from law enforcement. It was so loud.
Mm.
And I wasn't hit. But there was an explosion that took place in my spirit. And I can tell you exactly when it was. And then you're looking what's taking place right now, and the explosion that just took place in Boston.
Oh, wow, that's right.
And it just jumped me out of it. When you have a vision, what happens? It's like you're really doing it. It's like you're, just so everybody's listening out there, it's like you're really, it's happening.
You're in it. Yeah.
You're in it. So you're, it's not like a movie. You're actually doing it. Well, that's how it was for me. And then it was on April the 10th, that there was just this explosion, this shot fire type thing, which would be like gunpowder, going off, and I just journal. I wrote it on my journal. I'm looking at my journal now, and I saw that, and there.
You talking about this?
What?
No, I didn't want to interrupt you. You're talking about this other vision.
Right. Yeah. It was. Yeah. But the. And then I'm just saying that God speaks to us. God will speak to you if you'll abide with him. Go to iabide.org and begin to abide with him. But listen, that just came to me all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
That also what he's showing me, okay, that came to pass, right? What I just told you about the explosion, then that happened, was all the paper money on the face of the earth. Now imagine having this powerful vacuum cleaner and loose papers everywhere, and you're sucking it out of all the crevices and cracks, and so it's just flapping around. Well, that was the paper money. The paper money was just being sucked up into heaven, it looked like, it looked like a pyramid, because it wasn't a pyramid, but it looked like shaped like a pyramid because the vacuum was in the middle, and it looked like it was all going to be sucked up, and you could literally hear it flapping, flap, 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 flap. And then all of a sudden, it just burned. It just turned into a big mountain of fire.
Mm.
And so, and then the Lord began to impress on me that the paper money is going to go, but they're going to issue a digital currency. And of course, what we just talked about on...
Right.
And this happened some time back when I talked about it, and you can see it at the torch. Go to vfntv.com and click on prophecies, and we're going to update that really soon where you can get to them in a hurry. But the now they have the Bitcoin, BITCOIN, and it is the talk of the world now, and it is a currency that has no place because it's a digital money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a digital money, and it's a world economy, and they're trying to figure out how to push everything into that right now. Well, listen. They want to take America down, and the only hope for America is what Rick Joyner's saying here, and what we've been saying, and what John is saying, is the church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven, and he'll stop this thing.
All right.
Mm-hmm. He'll just stop it. It don't have to make sense. The dots don't have to connect. He'll just stop it. But if we don't, if we don't turn, America's going to burn, is what he's saying. Okay.
Yeah. And so, and
I said that, by the way, I said that because I'm sorry about interrupting you there, but I said that because he's talking about the economic, that the economy is going to crash.
Right. Right.
And no money, no government. Government's only there because we had the money.
That's right. Well, look what's happening in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
Money's gone. Everyone's leaving.
Yeah. And you can find out by, make sure you link that to this particular, or have that link to this thing, but 50% unemployed, it's crashing. It looks like a war zone in Detroit, Michigan, because the money stopped. The money stopped. And that's what America's going to look like if we don't turn.
Mm-hmm.
So he continues to say, he says, however, if you do not change your direction, you will end up where you are headed. And that is where we are headed. We should not give up on the possibility of being spared this tragedy, But at present, we're not changing our direction, and we're speeding up as we get closer to the cliff.
It makes me think of the prophetic word that was given with the headlines with AWE TV.
God TV.
Oh. Anyway, his name will come up in a moment.
John Paul Jackson.
John Paul Jackson. He says, you're going to get what you want, but you're not going to like what you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the headline, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get what you want, but you're not going to like what you get. And that's what he's saying. If you keep going the direction that you're going, you're going to end up what he's talking about. But which means this, if my people, which means imagine the destiny that God puts in each of our hands to be willing to repent at any moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It says only the most blind or foolish are not earnestly preparing for the crash. This is something we've been talking about for, yeah. I mean, as long as,
right.
I can't even remember how long. It was several years.
We even prophesied right before the storm was going to come to the political, what do you call that government again? The
ineptocracy.
Yeah, I actually talked to the ineptocracy and prophesied to them, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it came that fall.
Yep.
It came that fall. Now we're telling you this is a lot of things, other things come, but you're looking at the end of this thing as we know it, right? That's what God said.
Right.
As we know it, within 6 minutes, the economy just falls.
6 minutes, bam. God, show me. Over.
Yeah. You can scream and beat and take a sledgehammer or stick your little ATM card in that machine all you want to.
Yeah, ain't not coming out.
Ain't not going to come out. And if whatever it does, you can't do nothing with it anyway, like the Weimar Republic, like we talked
about.
Well,
ask Cyprus. I mean, we only have a look at the Weimar Republic. Just a few weeks ago, Cyprus, they were trying to pull out their money, and they had a bank holiday. And then when they reopened the banks 2 weeks later, they only allowed them to withdraw.
They allowed them.
And $30, of their own money.
These are millionaires. They like $130, and they said, "We decided we're going to take 50% of your money, 80% sometimes." But this is interesting. What EU said, the European Union, they said this is a great model. No, actually, the IMF. They said this is a great model for every nation.
Wow.
Just take, you don't need that much anyway. All you need is this much, and they just take everybody's money, which, by the way, is your employer's money, which means you're not going to get paid tomorrow. You'd like it today. You say, that's a cool idea.
That's right.
You're going to say, that's a cool idea. Yeah, take all of Xerox's money or all of Apple's money or whatever, and they've already been preparing for this. They've already went overseas and
these
companies. Either way, even one of the founders went over to Singapore and gave up his citizenship because they've been watching what's going on. But your Facebook is I lost my train of thought with that, so we'll go on.
Well, it's just the economy. You were saying this. If we keep asking the people to give up their money and they take it's a great idea. It's your paycheck.
Well, it's so paycheck. Imagine, say you work with
Walmart.
Academy Sports and Outdoors at Walmart, and you think, that's right, this big company, and by the way, the company's owned by your neighbor called Stocks.
Christ.
and that's how they're actually getting their grass cut, because you're shopping at Walmart. It's a currency. Both you guys are, anyway. So you take all that money and they give it. They just suck it up and burn it. Basically, they're not going to give it to you. But understand, when you go back to work the next week, and you won't, because they're going to tell you we can't pay you. Then not only are you going to be out of a job, but your neighbor is going to be out of a house, because they just their stocks quit paying. It all crashes. It was in front of the stock. This is what God told us. And go ahead and share what God said specifically. To speak it as it is, what God said about the stock market again.
Well, this is the dream the Lord gave me. He spoke clear as day. I was going to my place of employment at the time, and I was walking towards my desk when I noticed that everybody was gathered around the television screen, all the coworkers. It's a large gathering. So, I immediately stopped and wanted to see what was going on. And it was a breaking news moment, and oftentimes I describe this as important to describe it now, because breaking news today is different than what it was like before, and definitely what like God showed me. Breaking news today is they tell you 15 minutes what's the breaking news before they actually tell you what is breaking news. Back in this prophetic dream, it was breaking news. It was like live happening at the moment. It was disjointed. You could see a reporter that was standing on the New York Stock Exchange floor, and what was very interesting,
which represents every business in America practically, because they're owned by your neighbor who bought stocks for that company.
Absolutely. And
everybody's retirement there, all that, it's the money,
everything. It's the world economy. I mean, not just America, it's the world's economy. And all these companies around the world are trading, and all the stockbrokers on the floor, they had their blue coats. They were all standing around the reporter. All trading had stopped. Trading doesn't stop normally, unless like 3 days out the year, Christmas, New Year's Day, and another holiday, unless there's some sort of major thing that happened. And so they were all standing there, and he says, I'm about to share something with you, but we don't want you to panic. I'm about to share something. As soon as he said those words, I knew in the dream, because of everything the Lord had already had told us, this was that.
This is it. This is exactly what Rick's talking about. It's what John Paul Jackson talked about, and it's what God showed us was going to happen. Yeah. And now he's showing you what he showed you in a dream, mm-hmm. showing you how exactly. It's going to happen.
So I didn't even wait at that moment to hear it, because I already knew it. So I went to my desk to gather my things to leave, because I knew everyone was going to just go nuts once they heard this word. As I'm exiting now, coming back from gathering my things, I'm about to walk out of the place of employment, and he's about to talk again. So I stop, and he says, we don't want you to panic, but we want you to know that the world's going to be over as you know it. In 6 minutes.
And it's so important, because we're not saying, and we're not saying that God's saying the world's over. It's not it.
No.
The world as you know it.
As you know it.
And the economy falls, believe me, as you know it, it'll be totally different overnight. Like Detroit.
I mean, exactly. You don't have to look far. This is the thing. There's so much prophetic fulfillment today.
Right.
You don't have to look far. Okay. Right. And as soon as he said that, chaos broke loose. People were panicking and grief. And I'm standing up on a chair saying, go to the VFN torch. The Lord showed us this. It's all documented. This is how you need to prepare and turn your hearts back to God. And that's what we've been doing every day on VFN radio. We've been preparing. We've been sharing and warning so that we can turn our hearts, so that the world, that the church can turn our hearts back to God. But we have a choice. You know, we can choose God, or we can continue to be on the path that we have been on.
Right.
And so
we're gonna pick this back up in just a moment after this break. But realize you can go to the VFN torch, and that's what you begin to say when this dream is God showing to you. You sent people to the torch. You sent them to what we call the VFN torch, and you were saying, "Go there now." Listen, we're telling you to go there, and on the menu at the top it has prophecies. Click on that and just take your time and just read and pray and say, God revealed to me, you know, how am I supposed to respond?
Yeah.
And you can, prudent preparation on VFN TV, you can watch prudent preparation. Prepare. As you know, this is what Proverbs says, a prudent man sees danger and prepares, but a fool continues on and suffers for it.
Right. He continues to say, and we'll recap a little bit, if the crash happens, we're talking about financial crash, if the crash happens,
which he says is inevitable if we don't change what we're doing,
right, there is still a possibility of recovery. There will also be a real possibility of chaos and tyranny like America has never known. This could be permanent, or it could just be for a time until there is a recovery of order,
which would be like a reboot. Everything reboots, right, with a new type of currency, a new type of order. And by the way, martial law is not a negative thing when it's when people are going wild. It's actually, it's just like a father and a mother that says, I don't care. Hush.
Knock it off.
Everybody go to your room.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen if that kind of thing happens, then you'll see, you know, martial law. George Washington, President Washington used martial law. So don't say, mm-hmm. you know, if our president feels a need to have to use martial law to keep Americans alive,
yeah,
and deal with the people who are doing things on the streets they shouldn't do. Don't be speaking against. Pray for our president.
Mm. Yeah, no doubt.
And I believe he's God's set man. You know, you need to pray for even Saul. Even David knew not to lay his hands on Saul. Realize that, mm-hmm. you know, if you've been given a duty and you got to do it, you know, you got to do what God's called you to do.
That's right.
All right.
Then if we have learned the lessons and have returned to the Lord to seek his grace, we could end up better and stronger than ever.
You're saying if we learn lessons.
That's right.
From the hardship, God's treating you as a son. He talks about in Hebrews, I believe, chapter 13, maybe, that he says, consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son. He's working holiness into your life.
Mm.
You know, without holiness, you can't see God. So if we learn from this difficult time you're talking about, that you're reading about, and that God's showing us about, and Rick's seeing as well, then that's what you're saying, because quite often as Americans, we just think, oh, good, it's not going to happen then. That's not what he's saying. He's saying if we learn from the turmoil, right?
Yeah, if, which reminds me of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Think about it. How many parents looked at their child and go, if you just would have listened to me.
Mm-hmm. So listen. Sense.
Yeah. And then that's exactly Proverbs 1. Read it, by the way. God wants to share his secrets with you. But if we don't listen to him, he says that disaster will come and I will laugh.
Yeah. Don't if think, you would listen. Yeah,
but if you do listen, you can. He'll protect you no matter what's going to come.
Yeah. Yeah. So at this writing, this is Rick speaking. At this writing, there does not seem to be leadership on the horizon that can turn us back from this pending catastrophe. But one could be raised up in a day. Even more than leadership, there is something even more fundamental to restoring the republic if we're going to remain a republic and not fall to the tyranny we're headed for.
That's important. So what he's saying, which is the average Joe could even observe, the fact is there ain't nobody right now able to do this thing, you know.
That's
right. And this is how God does things. God could all of a sudden just raise up a George Washington or a John G. Lake or whatever to say, and all of a sudden God touches that particular person in the favor, in the way technology is, that instantly everybody can see and know, go, we'll follow this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he can shift. And I'm thinking too about Chuck Pierce's word that God's been trying to shift the church and its leadership won't shift to his form of leadership. And that's what the American government and governments around the world are stuck because the church is stuck.
Yep.
And very well, I think I'm really feeling that. Yeah. I'm feeling that what's going to happen if we will let it shift to the new, to God's men, women, whatever it is, his men, then we can come out of this.
Yeah.
We can come, even if we're in it, we can come out of it because God's going to lead us out. Just like watch from Genesis all the way through, you got to follow those who God has called to lead because God's speaking to them about what to do and giving them the strategies.
He goes on to say that the founding fathers warned that the republic could only be maintained by a moral and religious people. They assured us we could not survive as a republic with the kind of moral meltdown that we are now suffering and the departure from core religious devotion that we have had. We have not only lost these, but the nation has become increasingly hostile to those of faith. Without another great awakening, we will not survive as a republic much longer. The good news is that the signs of another great awakening are coming.
Well, there's tremors of a great awakening that we're going to be talking about that is beginning to just tremble in the hearts of the hungry and the desperate. Mm. And we'll be talking about them, but we're going to continue on with a prophetic word that several prophetic words as we're talking are all coming together, this great convergence. But this is a fresh word that is the foundation of this conversation that we started in the beginning of the first hour, and we're just gradually, you know, introducing it to you and just telling you we're hearing it as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick up where we left off. It's really important that this lays a foundation for the next part of the word, but he says that the founding fathers warned that the republic could only be maintained by a moral and religious people. They assured us that we could not survive as a republic with the kind of moral meltdown that we are now suffering and a departure from a core religious devotion that we have had. We have not only lost these, but the nation has become increasingly hostile to those of faith. Without another great awakening, we will not survive as a republic much longer. The good news is that there's signs of another great awakening coming. And this is where it begins to talk about the foundations are burning. A couple of years ago, this is Rick Joyner speak. Is his prophetic word written down? Is him speaking? A couple of years ago, I had a vivid dream of America. In the dream, America was a log cabin, and every room in the cabin was a different part of America. I was being taken through it on a guided tour of each room. As we were going, little fires would break out, which my guides would just stamp out and continue on as if it was normal. I was very disturbed by this, so I looked through one of the holes that had been burned through the floor to see what was causing the fires. I was astonished to see the entire foundation of the house on fire. I knew that the entire house was either very close to collapse or exploding into flames. This is our present condition.
So hold on. So let's describe that a little bit. So these little fires are coming through the floor, and so it looks like originally these are just fires starting in rooms or parts of America, but when you look under the log cabin, it was like on a stove, a fiery flame. Yeah, the whole cabin was on fire.
Yeah.
Underneath
yeah.
was on fire, and it was just coming through a little bit. So the things we're seeing right now in America, prophetically, what he's saying is that's coming from this huge furnace of fire underneath America right now, and we're just seeing little things pop up here and there. But if you pull back America, spiritually speaking, you would see that our foundation is on fire.
Wow.
Yeah. Right?
And yeah, and man's futile attempt to stamp it, you know, stomp out some little flame that's happening. Let me tell you something. It's all on fire.
How guilty are we quite often for just dealing with what the little shallow things and not getting to the source?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, what's the root cause of this? Why do I do what I do? What is happening here? Why is this continuing to go on? You know, what's happening in this region? Why does that type of thing?
Yeah. So he continues that this is our present condition and we do not have much time left. In this dream, I wanted to run from the house. I was told not to run, but to grab a hose and put the fire out. This gave me the courage to think that the fire could yet be put out and the house could be yet be preserved without total destruction. In scripture, water often represents the word of God, and this dream indicates that this is the only thing that can save us. I mean, we've said it, you know, so many times that it's the word, it's God's word, and we have to abide with God. When you're hearing that from George Barna's stats that only 19% of believers are actually in the word of God and only 3% find that it's their spiritual responsibility, their own spiritual responsibility for their own spiritual development, we're in trouble. The word of God, we need to return back to the true foundation. He goes on to say that even as far as we have drifted from morality and religion, yet and still over 90% of Americans still believe in God and over 65% claim to be born again Christians. If these are awakened, we could yet survive. We would still need to do a lot of work to restore what has been consumed in our foundations, but that would be much better than losing the entire house.
So you think about it. It makes me think now what God just said to Steve Hill of what's taking place and preparing for it. And God showed him it's a spiritual avalanche, and he wrote it out in a book. But we want to be able to hear this warning now because it lines up with what we're hearing, and he just heard this. So we want you to listen to a spiritual avalanche, this warning that came from Steve Hill at the point of it. Listen to this. Many are deeply troubled over the condition of their church and the critical compromise of our culture. Something must be done. The vision you're about to hear has been released in writing. The response, the worldwide response, is overwhelming. Now, with ears to hear, please allow this word from the Lord to give you clear instruction for the perilous years ahead.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. but I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity at this popular resort. Day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage while we can do anything we want." Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front lines. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ His words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.
You're listening to Steve Hill and a vision that he just had, like December of 2012, January 2013, when he began to share it. And now this whole year he's delivering it, and he has a book out. You can go to the VFN Torch and you could see Spiritual Avalanche. That is, listen, we're all hearing this. Listen, this is what God says, and we're going to have a break and come right back, and we're going to continue. A new day is going to dawn after this, but there's hope, but we got to do right towards our Father. We're going to have to honor. If I'm your father, where's my honor, is what he says in Malachi. And what Jesus said about the religious folk, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he says, yeah, you're listening to your father all right, the father of lies. See, if we're following, he's talking about Satan as the father of lies, then we got to make our choice who we're going to listen to, who we're going to follow. And if you're following God, then Jesus is the master, the Lord, the leader, the king of your life. We're right in the middle of sharing a prophetic word from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, and we're about to talk about a new day will dawn, but I first feel led that you need to hear David Wilkerson about anguish. Listen, if we're not broken over the condition, then that means there's not a mark on us that God would keep us in the storm. But if you're broken over it, and some of you, you've been broken, you were broken at a point in time, and finally you just got tired of being broken because nobody else was broken about it, so you decided not to be broken. But that was the moment you decided not to have a mark on you, a protection that he talks about in his word in Ezekiel, that he comes down and those that are brokenhearted over the condition of his people, then he will actually, you're having the heart of God with that.
Yeah.
And so he will actually, you know, protect you in what's about to come. Listen to this word, and then we're going to go and talk about, but we need to have an anguish over a fire underneath America and the things that we're hearing, these prophetic words, and the fall of the economy that we can turn now. And the key is you first have to be sorrowful for the condition. Listen, this is David Wilkerson, Call to Anguish.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see the music taking over the house of God. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. an obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful. Acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow, agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish. You find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? Now folks, look at me. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion, not just some great sudden burst of concern and then let it die. He said, no, I broke down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted. And then I began to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish, no weeping, not a word of prayer. It's all ruin. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land? Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion? Blind to lukewarmness? Blind to the mixture that's creeping in? That's all the devil wants to do, is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you. Is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that begins to interest you. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin, it drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God. I know now. Oh my God, do I know it. Until I'm in agony. Until I have been anguished over it. And all our projects, all our ministries, everything we do. Where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not hearing and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing his heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. The Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal. no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me, you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's somebody to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. Didn't want to be happy. But Lord, true joy comes. True joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy. I don't care how much money, I don't care what kind of new house there is. Absolutely nothing physical can give you joy. It's only what is accomplished by the Holy Spirit when you obey Him and take on His heart. Build the walls around your family. Build the walls around your own heart. Make you strong and impregnable against the enemy. God, that's what we desire.
You're listening to David Wilkerson, A Call to Anguish. Listen, these days that we were telling you about and talking to you about, why aren't we broken over them?
Yeah.
Why are you okay with a deceived church, a false doctrine, a 81% of professed believers not even reading their Bible, and the 19% that are reading it, only 3% of those are concerned about their heart while they're reading it. So that some, the others are just reading it for knowledge and information. With 80% of those regular churchgoers, which is once every 2 weeks, says that worship is about them and not about God. When 97% of regular church attenders are robbing God, like Achan, of his tithes and offerings, according to George Barna. Why aren't we anguished? Why aren't we anguished with broadcasting the gospel of grace while we're living in hell? Why are we okay with carnivals and parties and bands when nobody hears the voice of the Lord? Why are we okay with not hearing the voice of the Lord? Why don't you want to hear what God has to say? Why aren't we in anguish over the condition? Because hell is real. And everyone who does not turn will burn. And that's what this word is about.
Yeah.
It's a false doctrine that tells you that you can live like the devil and end up with God.
Yeah.
It's a false doctrine. It's a false doctrine. You can't live like the devil, date the devil, marry the devil, and think that you're the bride of Christ. I don't care what prayer you said. I don't care what school you went to at one time. The truth is, you can walk away from the faith. But let me tell you something. Once you get that understanding, now you know what you got to do is turn back.
That's right.
To your first love.
Mm. Yeah, it's called deception.
Yes.
It's called deception. You've been deceived.
And we talked about it yesterday. Remember, we talked about what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. Many will be deceived.
That's right. Anguish.
Yes. Lord, give us anguish.
Yes. Lord, baptize us. Baptize us with anguish, God. Yes. Baptize us with anguish.
Do what you got to do what God's called you to do. And the day He's called you to do it, risk everything, because it will cost you everything.
Everything.
Go ahead.
I heard an interview yesterday, Misty Edwards, talking about her new book, What's the Point? And she's talking about how she was diagnosed with cancer at 19 and then 6 years later came back. And she says, you know, the interviewer was asking her, says, that probably was horrible. She says, you know what? It was a gift. She said, because when you're facing eternity, you can die at any moment. You're asking God the question, have I fulfilled the purpose that you've called me to do by age 19? Have I done everything? Everything changes. And you know, why are we complacently living, vicariously living through other people? I'm talking about believers here. We have our own purpose and destiny in God. God knit you in your mother's womb because he has a purpose for your life to fulfill. It's to know him and to make him known.
And the author of Crazy Love,
Francis Chan,
says, "And nobody makes a decision till they realize eternity's in the balance."
Mm.
And so what does the devil do? He deceives you in saying the eternity's not in the balance, so it doesn't matter what decision you make, and then you don't make a decision, and he deceived, and it did matter, because why would God even do it if eternity was in the balance? Eternity means this. He wants you to be with him forever. He loves you.
Ever,
he loves you.
Ever.
He has good plans in store for you, but you got to choose to be his. We've been sharing a prophetic word, and we're going to continue on from Rick Joyner, fresh from the Prophetic Journal. And understand that God is going to, there's going to be a new dawn coming. And he goes on to talk about, we talked about the difficulty and that it can, if we turn, then it won't happen. And we're God's going to have to raise up someone, because there's nobody presently on the horizon, that's what he's saying, that can do this. But God, obviously God can do that in a moment, actually in a twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
But a new dawn is coming. Listen, the church is going to survive. The kingdom of God is going to survive.
That's right.
You might not be able to wear your American jacket. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It'll be made in something. But realize America is only 5% of the world's population, but probably 98% of its pride.
Mm.
Mm.
You know, all these products we wear are made by other countries. We just don't want to go there. Don't want to go there. But understand this. If we humble ourselves and repent for our pride, then God will restore us, because we're blessed. We're just a blessed land, and we can keep it. But the new dawn is coming. How does he go on to say in this prophetic word?
He said the good news is that the kingdom is coming with or without America. It would be much easier for the whole world for America to remain as a fortress for freedom such as it has been. But the kingdom of God will come regardless. We are told that the foundations of the Lord's throne are righteousness and justice. See Psalms 89:14. Righteousness is doing what is right in the sight of the Lord, not man. What is now politically correct is in direct conflict with God's word. In Galatians 1:10, the Apostle Paul said that if he were still trying to please men, he would not be a bondservant of Christ. The same is true for us. We must all determine whether we will live to please the Lord or men. We cannot do both. As the apostle also affirmed that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And the truth is that we need to return to a healthy fear of the Lord. I mean, we need that in our lives. Let that be your prayer. We don't need more houses and things and stuff. We need the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
Because if you fear man, you're going to serve man. So John Bevere said, but if you fear God, you're going to serve God. And he's the only one that matters, right? He's the only one that counts. This is it. It's God.
The kingdom of God is not contingent upon the kingdom of America. Kingdom of America, has just been a blessing from God and a gift from God. And, you know, if you don't appreciate the giver who gave the gift, then he says that I'll tell a nation to rise up, and I'll tell a nation who turns against me to take it down.
Yeah.
And he says, listen, you need to go. If you haven't yet gone to VFN TV, go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV on there and watch these prophetic teachings that have gone out. Realize what we're talking to you about, God has shown us in detail.
Mm-hmm.
One particular prophetic teaching that you would hear is a tale of two kings. Mm. A tale of two kings. Right now, the church is choosing, along with the Americans are choosing, is... government. They're choosing Saul over Samuel. And you need to understand that that's actually not rejecting anybody but God when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And another is America under God's judgment? And there's three phases of judgment. And right now we're in the last phase of that. But you need to hear that, because it's the evidence. You need to hear the evidence. You need to know in your heart what's going on through God's word so you can lock in your faith and understand what does turn mean, because quite often people say, I turned, but they didn't change a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another is the Elijah storm. Understand that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, I will send Elijah. the spirit of Elijah, and he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with the curse. The Elijah storm. Listen, you're listening to somebody right now for 10 years prophesied the Malachi mandate so loud and so intensely, because God was just compelling me, that it was heard all the way from the Gulf Coast all the way to Indore, India, and World Vision. A governor began to change his speech based on the word. It was radiating. People from other states begin to say, isn't this the month for the Malachi mandate, basically? But it says, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And nobody didn't turn. And you got to hear these prophetic words in prudent preparation. I mean, in these orders, I'm talking to you. Watch these. Watch or listen, whatever they are on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and click. Your menu up there has VFN TV. We're not talking about the radio, VFN TV. And you can watch these teachings. And you need to be prepared. You need to know why you need to be prepared. But what God is speaking to me about, and we're first going to go to break in this moment, and we'll come right back. But what we're talking to you about is it looks inevitable. Looks inevitable, but hold on. The kingdom of God will be sustained and things will be good. And there'll be a differentiation between those that are God's, possessive-wise, that we're loyal to God, and those who are not loyal to God. They're loyal to religion. You'll see a difference there. And God protects those that are his. Those that are his. We have been delivered almost nonstop since the beginning of the first hour, a prophetic word that just shaking us. It's just convergence. It's a convergence.
Yeah. So continuing with Rick Joyner, he's saying, as we came back from the break, between one-third and one-half of the teachings on righteousness in Scripture are devoted to economics. It was to the degree that America's aligned with the principles that we experienced economic prosperity. As we have departed from them, the shaking began and will continue until we either realign with them or collapse. While we were aligned, we were the greatest creditor nation in history. As soon as we turned from the basic principles of biblical righteousness, we went into debt, and we now have the biggest debt in the history of the world. The scriptures are true, and they are always true. The kingdom will come either way. I'm talking about the kingdom of God, and it will bring the whole world into alignment to what is right and works best for everyone. Justice must work with righteousness. Because it is not right if it does not treat everyone fairly, with everyone playing by the same rules. Our economic shaking began because we got out of alignment with what is right and just on both ends, at the top and at the bottom. This is what our founding fathers warned about. They fear both the tyranny of a king, the top, and the tyranny of the mob, the bottom, and set up firewalls to keep both of these in check. When these firewalls were torn down, the inevitable shaking began. The founders were not so brilliant in their architecture of the new government because they foresaw the modern economic system that has evolved, but because they knew basic human nature that is the same as today as it was in their times. The founders had remarkable insight into the sources of tyranny from the top or the bottom of society. They had been subjected to the oppression of King George and had witnessed the horrors of mob that fueled the French Revolution. The kingdom is coming because the King, Jesus, is going to come. He is both righteousness and just. As the scriptures affirm, he is not just going to restore righteousness and just government throughout the earth. He is going to restore the earth to the paradise it was originally created to be, so that even the lion will lay down with the lambs and the children will be able to play with cobras and no one will hurt anyone else. We have been given a hope that is greater than any other religion or philosophy ever conceived, and it is a sure hope that it will surely come to pass. When we begin to see the kingdom, it is very hard not to be bored with everything going on in the earth. However, we must get engaged to be faithful to our calling, to be salt and the light in this world, and to help prepare the way for the Lord and his coming kingdom. Nothing in the whole creation will ever be as interesting as the Creator. And nothing in this world will be as interesting as his kingdom. But we have a duty. He so cares about this world that he has declared that he is going to make his home on earth and dwell on earth and among men. Just thinking about this makes it hard to think about anything else. But we do have work to do to prepare for him. In Matthew 6, 31 through 34, the king gave us some important instructions. And he tells us not to be anxious. What shall we eat? Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Rick goes on to say that we must be resolved to seek the kingdom first. He promises that if we do this, everything else will be taken care of. Anxiety is a desperate enemy of those who are called to walk by faith and not by fear. Those who are building their lives in his kingdom have the peace of God with which the world cannot ever comprehend. Never lose your peace. After the election last year, terrible anxiety came upon many Christians. We must never let this happen again. The Prince of Peace will never leave us with anxiety, so anything we do out of anxiety will not be right. The only word I was given after the election was Psalm 37. It is a remarkable message about this. Read it and be comforted and resolve that you will never let anything steal your peace. And that's Rick Jordan right there.
And Morningstar and a fresh prophetic word from his journal. And that's so important. And what comes to my mind is Revelation when he says, blessed is he who's not offended by his judgments. Get offended by, you know, Father having to do some stuff to get things right. Don't get offended. Realize you've already won, even though it may not look like it in the natural sense. Secondly, when you hear justice, that causes a church that's untaught to tremble because they haven't taught you about the cross. And so also that one of the prophetic teachings you need to hear is no one cries for justice. Listen, there's not going to be the justice that we need until we begin to cry out for it. But we're not going to cry out for it if we think the gavel from the judge is going to land on our head.
Mm.
But if we don't go to the cross rightly, it will. And so you need to hear that because it'll put things into perspective, because Jesus, the judgment of for our sin. Now listen, not something that you said once. I mean, you got to deal with your sin now at the cross. If you carry that to the cross and you say, Lord, you're the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you. You're mine. I want to know your ways. I'm going to be the ones that read the word and do what you say. And I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to abide with you. Then at that, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. And with the gavel, you can cry out for justice. And God will bring justice. But listen, even in that turmoil, many people will come to the cross and they too will be forgiven. God wants to forgive you today. You just need to come to him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and find out a couple of our stories to find out also about that. We want to encourage you for the fact, because in the word, if you heard, and there's always this, God loves you. God loves the people in this land and has a plan for your life, but you have to choose to move in that plan. And the plan is this, that plan is to bless you and to prosper you and to restore the years the locust had devoured. But it requires the very first thing is that we repent. We acknowledge his lordship, and he sends refreshing, times of refreshing upon us, and it's called an awakening in such a way. An awakening is not a revival. An awakening changes the DNA of a nation. This is going to require a spiritual reboot for the church.
Mm.
And we got to get back to the original intent of the church. And so this is not like go paint your building or something. This is actually deal with our hearts. But understand that what's going to happen here, if we go after God, and it's God's love for us that empowers us, and our faith in his finished work on the cross that loses his spirit in a way to be able to empower us to make decisions we couldn't make outside of that. But listen, if you don't turn to him, it's going to be an impossible turn. So we're talking to you now about the Great Awakening. We have just a few moments left. what was started in Lakeland, Florida, and the adversary came in to begin to really attack it,
yeah,
that God has rebooted it and put a fresh wind of what he's going to do in South Africa, which totally confirms in the fact of saying, okay, God says, America, you didn't want it. You know, you weren't going to support it. You weren't going to pray. You weren't going to get down there and do the work it took to be able to do this. Then I'll move over in the 95% of the population. Mm. I'll go to South Africa. And of the 5 years to the day of
which
the lake.
Five means grace.
Yes, five means grace. Wow. And I want you to hear this word that's being read by Todd Bentley, who's Bob Jones has spoken over him, and who Rick Joyner, by the way, is one of his spiritual fathers. Listen up. He's reading this word from Bob Jones.
Now, in those meetings in Great Awakening, South Africa, Todd, what's being restored is what was lost. What you lost in Lakeland, Florida, is what's now starting again. But this time, it'll never stop, and you will do what you were supposed to do and go where Lakeland was supposed to go that it never went. It is restoration. He said it is a day of acceptance and a day of favor. Not a day of rejection, but a day of acceptance and a day of favor. And I'm telling you, God is opening and redigging some wells of anointing. Not just old wells. He's redigging. He's opening some new wells of glory, some new wells of anointing. He said, but this anointing will just keep going. In South Africa, he said, it'll be an increase. I said, what are you feeling about what's happening right now? He said, it's increasing.
You think about it, that, and he goes on to say that America has a chance.
Yeah.
And the chance is we have to awaken. Awake, O sleeper, awake. This is one word that God had spoken to us. It's like, show me the glory. Yeah. Where's the glory, right?
Yeah.
Where's the glory? Being desperate and hungry. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the currency of the kingdom is desperation and hunger. Listen, it ain't going to happen religiously. It's going to happen because you're hungry. And quite often that comes with turmoil and turbulence and loss of things, but ever how it has to come. Mm-hmm. Get hungry for God. Get desperate for God. Let's don't lose this thing. Let's turn to him. Tell your neighbors. Begin to get them on VFN radio and have been watching VFN TV. It's time. It's time to turn. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.